Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and I'm joined by Alex Brown for another edition of Wiretaps. Welcome, Alex. How are things going?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
So we have a lot to talk about today. This is, as we keep saying, busy, busy times in MBA admissions, and we've got a lot of activity on LiveWire. We are going to get to three really interesting ApplyWire posts that we're going to break down and give feedback on. But let's start with just what's been happening. People are getting results now, so we're into the busiest time of the year. So what's been going on with LiveWire? I know you've been keeping a close eye on it.
Sure. I mean, last week we saw Michigan Ross release their interview invites for their round one candidates. So we saw a lot of activity surrounding that. And also MIT Sloan released its first batch of interview invites, which seemed to target their LGO program principally. Quite a lot of activity last week. And then obviously this upcoming week, Sloan will release more interview invites, so it'll let the rest of its candidates know. And the big player next week will be Wharton, releasing its round one interview invites, which is quite interesting. They're releasing their round one interview invites, Graham, nearly a month after Harvard did the same. So this sort of caps towards the end of the particular part of the season where interview invites are getting rolled out in significant numbers. But yeah, lots and lots of activity going on.
Yeah, and I wonder if Wharton does it a little later. I mean, their deadline's a little later, so they have, you know, they need more time. But I wonder if some of it is also just related to the mechanics of, you know, organizing their very unique team-based discussion, which is, you know, their interview process. So we'll see. But this is going to be an exciting week because of those Wharton interview invitations coming out. It's been, you know, on the site, we've had a lot of activities, we say, but there's also been some nice interview reports coming in. And I don't know if those who submitted them are listening, but thank you. We love seeing those interview reports. We have, for those listeners who are not aware, I mean, there are literally thousands of firsthand accounts of interviews from every top school. So you can literally dive in. If you get a Wharton interview invitation, you can dive into the Wharton interview archive on clearadmit.com and see hundreds of interview reports so that you know what to expect. A lot of our people who are submitting give great advice, you know, kind of about what they could have done differently, or just tips on little things about getting there early or not and what to do. And so definitely check out the interview archive, and thanks to all those who've been submitting. This is definitely a like pay it forward thing. We really rely on our community to submit those reports so that, you know, people can benefit and do better in the process. And so if you use the archive, we do ask you at the end of the season or whenever you get a chance to post your own firsthand accounts to help keep that archive running. But Alex, you picked out a few ApplyWire entries for us to discuss this year, this episode. So let's you know, without further ado, unless there's anything else you wanted to discuss, I think we can kind of dive in and get through these profiles.
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, so Wiretaps candidate number one. So this person is looking to start next fall, and they are currently kind of manager of operations and finance at a hospital, a private hospital in Peru. Post-MBA are looking to pivot into kind of consulting or maybe pharma-related work. They also have an interest in social impact. Companies they're targeting are McKinsey. They also have some, you know, healthcare companies like Novartis, Genentech, Amgen, so a bunch of different companies on the list here. The GMAT for this candidate, which I believe is a woman, she has a 720 on the GMAT, a GPA of 4, so I guess a perfect GPA on the US scale, and then 6.5 years of work experience. And, you know, lots of experience in working in a private health group in Peru, and, you know, an interesting kind of path. They definitely want to apply to some really, you know, top MBA programs. The schools on her list are Berkeley, Harvard, Kellogg, Stanford, UCLA Anderson, and Yale. And Alex, I will note that the first comment that you left for this person is, you know, where's Wharton on the list? And even Duke. And I think, you know, some might chalk that up to the fact that you used to work at Wharton, but, you know, and I went to Wharton, so I'm biased too, but I will say, I think everyone would agree that for someone interested in healthcare, Wharton's healthcare management program always comes to mind. And so it was a curious, you know, fact that it wasn't on the list here. So, but do you want to talk a little bit more about this candidate? I mean, I think she has a really interesting candidacy. So,
yeah, I mean, I just bounce it directly back to you, Graham. What is the weakness in this candidacy? I was just, the more I read about her profile and so forth, the more impressed I was. I do think this candidate is someone that's had good impact in their work environments, which is something that the top schools are really trying to seek out. And I believe this person's goals illustrate that she has the ambition to be a high impact individual in the long run. Looks to me like she wants to, in essence, sort of help develop, better develop healthcare systems in her home country. So, I mean, that just seems very ambitious, yet very reasonable given her background.
Yeah, so basically she's been working, you know, in a private hospital and has, you know, a lot of really great experience in that domain. And then she wants to do like McKinsey or, you know, consulting or work for a major pharma company. And then she says, like, in the long term, like, go back home to Peru and work on improving the structure and, you know, cost and things in the private healthcare system in Peru. And I love this kind of really long-term goal that she mentioned, which was to be a minister of health or economics and finances of Peru. So I think, and that's not, I know it sounds super ambitious, but it's not that uncommon for successful business leaders to take on those kinds of roles. And so I think, I mean, if I'm, you know, Harvard or any of these schools on her list, reading her file and seeing that, I'm saying, wow, this could be someone that could be a, just a tremendous alum for our institution, right? So I like everything. I also should mention that she indicated she's done a number of kind of, you know, outside activities. She's done some volunteer work with kind of government. So she's got it all. You asked me what the weakness is. I guess I would say, I mean, it's kind of nitpicky, but I would say, you know, her GMAT is below average, I guess, technically, even though it's 720, it's like below the average at the very top schools on her list, which typically check in, you know, with like what, 730 plus, right? So, and I think it's being silly though, because frankly, we've seen over time, the GMAT scores from Latin America tend to run a bit lower. There's not a tradition of standardized testing in many of the countries there. And there may be just some cultural things happening where we just don't typically see monster GMAT scores out of those markets. So as an admissions officer, you know that. And so you see a 720 from Peru with all these other great attributes, and I think you don't bat an eye. It's like, this is a great candidate. I just felt like I get her wanting to go to Harvard, particularly with the politics angle in the long term. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, Stanford makes sense, proximity to a lot of what's happening in the kind of, you know, healthcare kind of biotech sector, and it's a great program, obviously. I just wondered, like, yeah, where in the world is Wharton? Why are they not on this list as kind of another choice? And frankly, there are people who want to work in healthcare who might even choose Wharton over the other two because of that. So I think she owes it to herself to at least investigate that. And yeah, we'll stop tooting our kind of Wharton horn here, but is there anything else that you wanted to say about this candidate or kind of any advice for her?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I can tell you where in the world Wharton is. It's in Philadelphia, but it's a great, it's a great option for this candidate. But clearly this candidate, I think, should be aiming at the very best, at the Harvard, Stanford, Wharton. And, you know, the other programs that she's listed are also very good programs, but clearly this is a candidate that belongs in a top business school, in my mind, based on what we can learn from this profile. So with good execution on her applications going into round two, I just wish her the best of luck, and I hope she's able to fulfill her ambitions.
Yeah, I agree. And the only last bit of advice I would give her is I don't think she needs to apply to six schools. Like, she has six on the list right now. I think she could probably get away with four, maybe five at most. Like, I don't think she's going to need to do that many. That's just, you know, I think she's going to have a number of options, even if she only applies to four. So,
and obviously scholarship might come into it too, because clearly she's going to be a candidate that top schools are going to be potentially fighting for.
Agreed. All right, so let's move on to Wiretap's candidate number two. So this person, another woman, is working for a kind of science nonprofit and wants to start business school next fall. Post-MBA career goals are in consulting or maybe consumer goods with an interest in nonprofit and social impact. So a little bit all over the map there. GRE score, 326. GPA is 3.15. And years of work experience, 2. This person's currently in DC, and they're coming into the MBA admissions process, as they say, from a kind of non-traditional background. They've experienced at a STEM, kind of been working at STEM nonprofits, and they're hoping to use the MBA, again, I'm just kind of quoting them here, to pivot towards working in corporate social responsibility. They want to kind of use their background in, you know, environmental science and things to improve like supply chain management and market research. So interesting kind of plans. The schools that are targeted here are Berkeley, Columbia, Cornell, Georgetown, NYU, and Darden. And this person mentions, this is how I know that she's a woman, she says she's a Forte MBA launch participant. So, what do you make of this? I think there's some concerns here. When I saw this profile, I thought, wow, interesting, but. So you want to elaborate on what some of those buts might be?
Sure. I mean, again, I think this candidate can be a very strong candidate. The GRE score is definitely decent. She has a STEM background. Obviously, the GPA itself is lower than average. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. A STEM degree, we do know, is going to be a little bit more challenging. But nevertheless, I think it does bear some, potentially bear some explanation. And if it is from a degree program that doesn't have grade inflation, then including data points like class rank and so on and so forth may be important to include. The candidate will have at matriculation, if they go to business school this year, 3 years of experience. And I just wonder if now is the right time and whether the goal focus is developed enough to show that now is the right time. Because oftentimes you'll see someone with less work experience, you know, two years, three years, or whatever it might be, hasn't developed the sort of focus going forward that someone with 4 or 5 years of experience might have done. But I get the sense that this candidate is applying this season, and if they're not successful, will then reapply, and therefore is aiming quite high this season in terms of target schools, such that on the understanding that if she strengthens her candidacy in another year, she's not compromising this year by going to a school like a safety school or something like that. So that's kind of how I'm understanding her plan, which I think is a good plan. Like, right, Graham? I mean, if you're a little light on years of experience, no harm submitting some apps, but don't submit them to schools that you wouldn't be passionate about attending at this point, right? But the GPA is going to be a bit of a challenge. And she also asked what other schools might be viable for her. And it looks like she's interested in sort of supply chain type work in the sectors that she's looking at, moving into sort of corporate social responsibility, in the environmental sciences area. I was kind of trying to figure it all out through what she'd written. For some reason, Ross stands out to me in that area.
Yeah, that was one on my mind. I think, you know, I also, you know, she mentioned kind of consumer goods in her kind of post-MBA career as one of the possible paths. And so I thought it's interesting that she didn't have any of the Midwest schools that place incredibly well in that domain, you know, whether it's Kellogg or Chicago or Kelly or Ross. So I was surprised by that. I also think when I think of like operations and supply chain, I also, you know, a couple of schools that come to mind are MIT and Wharton, right, as being strong in those domains. So I was a little, I didn't quite get the school selection. I would say I think it's fine to apply, aim high this year, apply, and if it doesn't work out, reapply. I agree with you. That's a good strategy that she seems to be following. I just wondered, she does seem to have like, it, you know, there's a little bit of a range of schools, I guess. I mean, she has, you know, some kind of top 15 schools, and she does have Georgetown, which is slightly lower ranked school. The thing I want to be, that I want to just give in terms of advice is don't apply anywhere that you wouldn't be perfectly happy to attend, right? So you should only apply to schools that you're going to go to. And if this is kind of a kind of aim high year, then only apply to the very best and see what happens. I do wonder, I would love to know more about this candidate and, you know, her goals, just to have a little more information. I also wanted to mention that when you are younger and you only have, you know, a couple years experience at the time of application, the bar tends to be higher on the academic side. So GMAT and GPA are far more important for someone with 2 years of experience than they are for someone with maybe 10 years of experience, which we'll get into in a moment in our next candidate. But I think, so I was a little concerned about this 3.1, but, you know, she did mention, she refers to her, I guess, undergraduate institution as uni, which made me wonder, is she British living in America? Did she do that? Did she go to like Oxford or Cambridge or something for undergrad? Like if it's a school like that and her 3.15 is really just a translation of a second class honors or something, like I'm kind of wondering more. I just need to know more because that undergraduate GPA may not be nearly as alarming as it appears here. If it turns out that she went to some great school and that she's just converted it and that's not really matching up. So I'd want to know that.
And it does bring up another point, Graham, because she does say, I went to a school outside the US. So is she a US person that went overseas to university? That could be quite an interesting personal story. But also, or is this an international candidate who's now located in the US? And she didn't signal either way, I don't think.
Right, so that's the great mystery here, because I think there are a lot of ways you could look at this. I mean, this could be a candidate from who's maybe Indian, from India, who's now working in D.C. That would give us kind of one set of a kind of point of view, and maybe you know, went to a really great school in India or something. Or it could be an American who went over to the U.K. to get a degree. Like, we just don't know. And all those things would make us think a little bit differently about the candidate. So I did want to mention she's got some extracurriculars. So that box seems to be ticked. She's been doing some tutoring in high school and, you know, for STEM related stuff. So I think she's got a lot of components here. And I just want to make sure that the goals are clear enough. It's sort of like, I'd love to know, like, okay, what are three companies you might work for? And what would the role be post-MBA? And what do things look like 10 years after that? Where do you ideally want to be? So I think she needs to do some work there.
Yeah, really understand that long-term ambition. Kind of like our previous candidate, she was pretty clear that she basically wants to influence healthcare back in Peru at some level. And that's a pretty ambitious long-term goal, but she had the credentials to back it up. With this candidate, we're seeing some understanding of potential pathways in the short term, but not a lot of, I don't think, concrete substance, and not really much sense of that long-term ambition.
Agreed. So again, and I know, you know, this person's doing Forte MBA launch, so presumably she has access to mentors and people who can help with this very thing. So I think she's in good hands. We love Forte. I clearly admit we're good friends with those guys. So I think, wish this person the best of luck. Hopefully our feedback helps as well. I don't think it's a bad idea to roll the dice this year. I just think she's going to need to tick some boxes in order to be, you know, put her best foot forward. And then she can always come back next year, worst case scenario. So, all right, let's move on and discuss Wiretap's candidate number 3. So this person wants to start business school next fall and is working in, well, they've done work both in tech and with Peace Corps. Post-MBA, they're looking to head into consulting or maybe kind of nonprofit social impact type work. The companies listed are Bain, BCG, and McKinsey. GMAT score is 770. The GPA, 2.66. And this candidate has 10 years of work experience, is located in Los Angeles, and has a list of target schools that include Columbia, Dartmouth, Duke, Georgetown, NYU, UCLA, Darden, and Yale. And basically the background on this candidate is that they worked for 5 years as a project manager in the kind of software domain. And also they worked a bit in the corporate events industry. So they've traveled the world for Fortune 500 companies, supporting teams with, you know, tech at their events, basically. And they kind of had, you know, almost like a, I don't know what you call it. They decided like 5 years into that to do something completely different and try to enact societal change abroad. So they went to Ghana and worked in Peace Corps in the agricultural sector for a couple of years. And it was that experience that they said motivated them to pursue an MBA. So they mentioned their low GPA is obviously a concern, but they're many years out of college. So they're kind of wondering, how does that play? They did sit the GMAT three times to really knock it out of the park. And they noted that in all three instances, they scored at least 740 or better. So interesting, you just don't see that very often. And they have good extracurriculars. So yeah, what do you think of this candidate? This is clearly a non-traditional kind of candidacy. We rarely see someone looking at traditional full-time MBA programs who has, you know, 10 years of work experience. So what do you think?
This is a very interesting candidate with some really positive aspects to the candidacy. And one significant checkmark against that 266 GPA. And then again, as you mentioned, they're going to be a bit of an outlier in terms of years of experience. So I'll deal with that point at the very beginning. With 10 years of experience, what this candidate is really going to need to do, and we've addressed this directly on ApplyWire with our dialogue back and forth, is to engage with the schools and really show the schools that they're applying, you know, how they will be fully engaged through the MBA program, contribute, and so on and so forth. So that's going to be very, very important, I think, in their case. So what clubs are going to lead and so on and so forth. Anyway, I won't belabor that point. My impression of this candidate is they probably didn't have any focus when they were undergrad. And it wasn't till, and I can say this with some degree of empathy because, you know, it was many, many years ago when I was an undergrad, you wouldn't say I had much focus. But, you know, they obviously got into a pretty decent work situation despite the lower undergraduate record. And then after a period of time, I think that focus really kicked in. And this is a person that's then decided to do something radically different. I would suggest to pursue a passion. And I think we talked about this sort of radical type of move during a Wiretaps episode, maybe the last episode or the episode before. But I have big admiration for people that take on such a stark sort of change in their lives. Because one, it does show passion, but it also shows risk, you know, that they're risk tolerant and they're, you know, they do pursue their ambitions and so on and so forth. So they went and they served in Ghana in Peace as a Peace Corps volunteer in the agricultural sector. I mean, that seems as far from the tech sector running events, you know, for whatever. And I think that's highly laudable. I think what is also really odd about this candidate is they took the GMAT three times and scored 740 and 770 and whatever. I mean, that's just crazy. But it does show, clearly this candidate is smart. They have this focus. They have ambition. They want to initiate societal change and so on and so forth. And they can back that up with their Peace Corps experience. That's very, very good. They have taken... Because one of the simple piece of advice for a candidate like this is, well, you need to go to the classroom and get some A's. And the reason why you need to do that is it's clear that you're smart, but you have to show that you're academically motivated because your undergraduate record doesn't show either of those things. Your GMAT score only shows that you're smart. So a GMAT score will never prove to anyone that you're academically motivated because it's a one-time test. So you can, you know, prep for that, prep really hard, get the great score that you get. But it doesn't show me that over a course of a year taking a number of classes that you have the ambition to do well in those classes. So the only way to do that is take additional coursework. And this candidate has taken one course with UCLA Extension. I think the candidate received some poor advice. He claims that AgCom isn't impressed by this strategy, but I think they actually are. So I would say he needs to take a quant-heavy additional course and so forth. Anyway, you have something to say on this, Graham.
Yeah, the quest that they took was public policy for the real world. And I was like, this is not what you would take to prepare for business school. I mean, I get that it sounds really relevant given their career track.
Right. I do think the course was actually more tailored towards, you know, this career switch that they're interested in pursuing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think, and I'm not sure, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know which admissions officer gave him advice that, you know, taking additional classes to show academic readiness is not a good strategy. I mean, I think that, you know, I could see an admissions, you know, maybe a junior admissions staffer just kind of making that comment off the cuff or something. But I think, in my view, someone with, you know, a low GPA like this candidate has, and also who's been out of the classroom for 10 years, needs to show something. And as you correctly point out, the GMAT's not, you know, going to really do it. I think the GMAT itself is a great score, and it certainly, they did exactly what they had to do given the low GPA, but I think they need to do more.
And this guy is smart. That is not an issue here.
I agree. This person could be a really interesting voice in the classroom. Something I mentioned to you actually before we recorded is, you know, they have 10 years of experience, so they're probably about 32 years old or so, and they're going to go off to an MBA program. All the schools on their list are two-year programs, so they're going to be like 34 plus by the time they graduate. And they indicate a kind of short-term post-MBA company targets as being Bain, BCG, and McKinsey. And I do have a little bit of a concern that going to one of those firms out of business school as an older candidate may not be as easy as they think. And the same would be true for some of the investment banks. And I think there's a little bit of... there seems to be a slight bias towards, you know, the 28 or, you know, 29-year-old grads who McKinsey and company and all these guys know that they can, you know, work to the bone for a good 5 years before they move on to other roles. So I don't know. I thought it might be, they might want to think of some other companies that they might target in the short term. And just not the usual suspects as well. It just seemed kind of like, well, yeah, everyone lists Bain, BCG, and McKinsey. And so I just wondered, could they think a little bit more broadly about this and list another company or two that would be more inclined to take someone with their kind of background? So that was just a thought, because again, they don't want any strikes against them because they have this GPA issue. So they got to have everything kind of buttoned up. But your advice about engaging with the school is perfect advice. They need to kind of connect with each, you know, each campus environment and make sure that they can show that they're going to dive in head first, you know. So... anything else that you had on this person? I mean, again, appreciate their post, and it's a really interesting, you know, I too admire this kind of career shift, you know, heading off to Ghana and stuff, really interesting stuff.
Again, I just want to be very clear. I think this guy is very smart, has a real passion and interest in pursuing something that's actually really laudable and very good to do, has the wherewithal and already sort of moved in that direction, which is very, very good. It's just this GPA will always come back to haunt him in these sorts of scenarios. So anything that he can do. Now, he's knocked the GMAT out of the park. Fantastic. I would encourage him even now to look for a rigorous sort of basic sort of quant course, get signed up. And I think he was planning to say, well, if I get on a wait list, I'll definitely do that. It's like, just don't wait to get on the wait list. Be proactive. Admissions officers really appreciate proactive candidates. Shows, again, a good degree of self-awareness. This candidate knows the 266 is a problem and clearly knows that. That's why they took the GMAT three times. But I think I would have advised him, if I'd have known this candidate when they took the GMAT the first time, I'd have said, well, that's a great score. Well done. Now's time to get two or three A's on a transcript, and then you should be in very good shape.
Yep. Now, to throw a slight wrench into the works, there's one other thing I wanted to point out, and that this is that they kind of mention that they want to work in kind of international development and policy consulting. And, you know, that raised a whole other set of questions for me as well around this, you know, the companies they've listed. And I wondered, you know, like, why isn't, you know, the World Bank or the OECD or any of these kind of typical NGO type places that one would associate with that kind of work? Why are none of them on the list? And then further, should they be looking at like a joint degree or even policy programs too? Because it really depends on what they want to do exactly. But I just wanted to plant that seed too, because that's a question they might get in an interview, and they're going to need to be able to speak to that. They did mention that they wanted to potentially add London Business School to their list because they're currently working, it looks like, in London, they said, just on a project or something, I guess. And I think that's a fair idea. I mean, LBS is a great school. It is closer to, you know, Africa and some of the work that they've done. And if there's policy, you know, they talk about maybe making connections for work down the road there. So I think that's fine. I mean, I would encourage them. I also think that it could be that GPA is a little less less crazy important at a place like LBS, given the just the sheer variety of students that they're taking in. And so there might be a little more flexibility there. You know, there's less of this kind of U.S. News and World Report race to the GPA, you know, kind of stuff. So in any event, I think this is a really interesting candidacy. I think we've given them some solid advice. I don't really have anything else on them. So I think I did want to mention, we're only going to do three profiles this week. And we do want to encourage people to send along, you know, their ApplyWire entries. We'll profile folks next week as we always do. But definitely there was it was a little slower last week. So I'd love to encourage people to submit entries, particularly as we head into round two and people are kind of gearing up on their, you know, application strategy. So feel free to post. We'll give you good feedback, or the best that we can. And yeah, otherwise, just stay tuned. You know, this week's going to be really busy on clearadmit.com with Wharton and other schools issuing, you know, their interviews. So Alex, without further ado, I guess we'll just come back next week and do this all over again. But thanks for picking out those candidates once again. And yeah, for all the advice that you're offering.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much, Graham. Take care.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.